coast to coast.
Hey, it's Loveline. How you doing out there? How you all doing? Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. You know, I was just thinking, I don't know why it popped in my head, but I realized I was thinking about working out all day today.
Yeah.
Here's really the story of my life. I used to do this in school, and now I do it as it pertains to any chore of life. I don't actually do whatever it is I'm thinking about doing. I just spend the whole day thinking about it, and right. I may as well just have done it at that point.
Yeah, they have a name for that.
What do they call
procrastination.
Yeah. But yeah. This isn't classic procrastination. It's not really putting it off so much as it is almost obsessing about it.
Yeah,
or sort of lamenting it not doing it.
This is that special.
But then I should have done it anyway.
That special biological switch that you've got, that neurologic mechanism that causes something to go from the idea to the action.
Yeah, don't do that.
Sort of blocked there.
No, but one time I did have an idea about having other ideas. And I let myself go on that one. I mean, just feel free to have, you know, I had more ideas after that.
And I imagine if one of those ideas included masturbation.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, I didn't miss that. But,
yeah.
You know, all I'm saying is at about 5 o'clock today, I said, yeah, I'm going to work out. About 6:30, I said, I'm going to work out. And then I said, I'm going to take a nap, and then I'm going to work out. And then I said, I'm going to eat dinner, then I'm going to work out.
Oh, no.
Then I was putzing around watching Monday Night Football about 9:45, and I thought, well, the window's closing on the workout. You got to do it now. Yeah. And then I didn't do it, but I really felt like I did because it took up 5 hours of my life anyway. Shouldn't I get some, should I get some points?
That'd be nice.
It reminds me of when I was in school, when the test was, you know, when the paper was due on Monday, I'd sort of lament about it the entire weekend.
Ruin your weekend, but actually not do the
work. Ruin the weekend. Yeah. Never did got an F and a ruined weekend. Those are the Corollas. That's what I want to teach you people how to do. A lot of you people are listening are good at that stuff, and you people don't need my help. But we still have some people listening who could use a little kick in the pants. Gary?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's
up? My question is... I told my girlfriend that I was going to be joining the Army, and she gave me an ultimatum.
Ultimatum?
Huh?
I think it's at the end.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
She said either join and forget about her or stay with her.
How long have you been with her?
For about a month now.
Oh, come on. How long have you been intending to go in the Armies? The Army.
I told her ultimatum. It was going to be for 8 weeks.
No. How long have you been intending to go into the Army?
I've been intending to go into the Army my whole life.
Your whole life. So this is a lifetime idea. This is your goal, your career goal.
Yeah.
And you've known this girl for a month, and she's being a pain in the ass. She's manipulative.
Well, it's really since he saw his SAT scores. When he saw his 450 on the SATs is when that really clinched a decision for him.
For the Army.
Right. Gary?
Yeah.
What do you want to do in the Army?
Get on your knees, scumbag!
I want to become a computer technician.
Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, where do you have to get shipped out somewhere?
I don't know. I mean, probably.
I just think that at 18, someone that cannot support your lifetime goal is not worthy of being your girlfriend, and she's only been your girlfriend for a month anyway.
I think you're making this Army thing a little too noble, though, Drew.
You said he's always wanted to do it, though.
This is one... Let me tell you that where Army is between. Army is between prison and junior college for high school grads. It goes junior college... No, I'm starting at the bottom. Worst case scenario, junior college. Second worst scenario, Army. Third, prison.
Well, where would you rather he be, prison?
In the second slot?
Yeah. And no, I mean, if he doesn't go to the Army...
He might end up in junior college?
He's not going to junior college. That could be, you know...
Either way, you're just basically raping the system. We dump a bunch of money into you, you waste a bunch of ammunition, and then we have to pay for your medical and dental for the rest of your life.
I just think it's what he wants to do, and
okay.
She can't acknowledge, can't support that. What the hell?
If
that's
he
not
wants,
a relationship.
Fine. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I really, really like your guys' show.
Thanks, Josh.
Yeah. Basically, I was born with a bilateral cleft lip and palate, and I've had 13 surgeries. I have two more. I have a Lafort one in November, and then another nasal reconstruction thing when I'm finally done growing. And basically, I mean, I'm a pretty popular kid at school. I mean, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends that are girls, and I've never, ever had sort of an intimate relationship with a girl. I mean, I've never kissed a girl or anything like that.
Do you have much deformity or defect from the palate?
No, it's really not bad. I had a really, really good doctor in Atlanta, and it's really, really not bad.
Are you wanting to blame? You know, you notice the guy that played Marcus Aurelius' son in Gladiator had a cleft palate?
Yeah.
You know, Adam, you notice that?
No, I don't know what it looks like. You mean, is he one of the Phoenix brothers? Which son?
Yeah.
Was it Lake Phoenix or Bayou Phoenix or Delta Phoenix? Or
Joaquin
Phoenix, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well,
his brother jogging is an amazing act. Have you seen him? He's got a little brother trotting. He's a weird-looking guy.
But when you're born, you're out with a big hole here. This doesn't join up, but just a giant hole.
Hold on, Drew. Explain what you're doing.
I figured everyone else except you knows what I'm talking about. It's just that your upper lid is just open. It doesn't come together there under your nose. Sometimes even the nose can be open.
Well, what do you mean it's just open your lip?
It just doesn't come together.
Wait, what do you mean it doesn't come together? He has a hole there?
Yes.
Yeah, I have like a hole. I had a hole that basically led into my sinus.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
You've never seen that?
I don't see Joaquin Phoenix's hole in his lip.
He's all sewed up like Josh is, and so what you see is a pulling of the nostril and a sneer in that lip. His lip's kind of sneered because he's pulled up.
I guess so, but then there's just certain guys that have certain looks, too. It's not all something, right, Dave?
Absolutely.
All right.
Would you agree, Josh? Have you looked at? Did you see Gladiator?
Oh, yeah.
He had it?
Yeah.
I know he had a boob job. I could see that. All right. Keep ready with that, Anderson. There's going to be a lot of bad ones tonight. I feel it. Okay, so you turned out okay. So you're blaming this on that?
No, I mean, it's not really that. It's just basically, I mean, I see all these girls, and I mean, I've been through a lot with this, with all the teasing and everything that goes along with it as a kid.
Kids are great. They're great.
And, I mean, kids are just horrible to me.
Right.
And it made me stronger as a person, really, and you know, it made me look at basic teenage stuff and as real trivial. And because of that, I guess girls really sort of identified with me and like confided in me. Mm-hmm. And basically, I always ended up I talk to girls, I try to be outgoing, and I mean, I try to build sort of an intimate relationship with them, and it would always end up in them telling me like their guy problems.
Would you ask them out on a date?
Oh yeah, all the time. I mean, all the time. And it'd end up, we'd go out to dinner, and they would just tell me about, these guys they liked and how much, jerks they are to them.
You know what, though? Maybe that's the specific girls you're choosing to go out with.
Wait,
more than anything.
Are you starting your senior year?
Yeah, I just started my senior year.
Okay. Well, is there any new chicks around?
No, I just switched schools. But basically, at my old school, I went out with a bunch of different.
All right. I just thought of a tagging system they should have with the new blood who you haven't screwed up or embarrassed yourself in front of. You know those
caribou tags?
Well, no, I'm looking for something a little more visible. Those orange flags they used to put on the bicycles.
Like dune buggies?
Yeah, like a dune buggy antenna type flag or a something they put on a bicycle. Big, it's basically
so you see them coming.
Fiberglass fishing pole with an orange flag on the end of it.
You never lose sight of them.
You got to wear those around for the first semester.
Mm-hmm.
The girls you haven't effed up in front of yet.
Right.
Maybe easier to spot that way. Okay, listen. He's in a new school.
He needs to ask people out.
Ask him out.
I think it's more about the kind of person he's asking out than how he's behaving.
Yeah, he's
asking out the hot girls who like a-hole guys. He's not an a-hole.
But here's the other thing, too. 16-year-old girls, 17-year-old girls, Drew, tell me if you agree or disagree with this. They are looking to be taken by the hand and led a little bit.
Yeah.
And when you put a question mark behind everything, they won't buy into it.
Right.
Half of it is just buying into it.
Right.
They almost want to feel secure. It's like this. It's like they're wandering around the wilderness, and they want some guy to go, "Hey, I was a scoutmaster. I got a compass up my
ass.
Due north is this way. Let's go. Move out." and they'll just start following the guy. Right. But if you show up and go, I don't know, what do you think? Yeah. I don't know, what do you think? They'll go, oh, screw you, I'm going on my own. Yeah. Yeah, they want that.
Yeah.
Now, look, if they hate you, they ain't going. But many a guy's got many a date out of just a good, swift, strong move.
Yeah.
Yep. You got to do it, especially at that age.
Absolutely.
All right. Ether rag, duct tape, headlock.
Corolla method.
No problem. James?
Yes.
You're 23.
Yes, that's correct.
Hey, Drew, is there any chicks calling tonight? No. Hold on a second.
One. Alana, six.
Where are they?
Line six. One.
Where's the chick?
Line six.
I know, but I'm yelling at Damien over there. Alana?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
I was diagnosed with depression in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been off medication for probably the past 4 months.
Been doing okay?
I've been doing okay. I'm about to start college in October.
Uh-huh.
And my mom thinks that I should go back on medication.
Are you moving away for college?
No, I'm still going to be living at home.
Okay.
It's about 30-minute drive away.
Well, your mom shouldn't be making those kinds of clinical decisions. So I think more importantly, you should be under supervision, under care, letting somebody make those decisions who has clinical judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever they think you should do, you should do.
Well, I've been in counseling and I have a psychiatrist and things.
All right, what do they say?
Well, my counselor, he says he's not real sure. He doesn't want to tell me what to do. He wants me to decide on my own.
Okay.
And
like a good therapist?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
That's why yours has been waiting for you to talk about your masturbatory habits for 12 years.
That's the greatest gig in the world, that therapist. You don't actually have to do anything, and you make $80 an hour.
Go ahead. What's the psychiatrist saying?
I haven't seen him in probably about 6 months.
All right. Well, why don't you decide to go see him for an evaluation and then make your decision?
Okay.
Okay.
You going to art college?
Yes.
Yeah. Says that up on the screen, you know. Yeah. What do you do?
I'm planning on being a chef.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
a lot of that these days.
You get to do food in art college?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What else do they do that doesn't have to do with paper mache?
Cars. Car design.
You get to design cars?
I have no idea. I haven't looked into any of that.
It's called art college, and they have a whole culinary department? What?
The Art Institute.
Wow. Where's that?
Fashion design, interior decorating, web design.
Cake making?
Mm-hmm.
Then you make cakes?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff.
You know, let me tell you something at a young age that's going to save you a lot of trouble. Your agreement, you know, when you're green, you go, mm-hmm. And you're, what are you talking about? Hmm? Aren't too far apart?
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a lot of stumbling.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, there you go. You change your mm-hmm to yeah. Smart. All right, Alana. Good luck.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Jesus Christ. Could you imagine a career in food preparation?
Well, you own your own restaurant. Be interesting.
How could you not pick at what you were eating, you know, cooking?
Are you kidding?
Impossible.
You and I imagine that.
Like, if I'm holding a sandwich and somebody said, the President of the United States is on hold, he'll be with you in 10 seconds, and I was holding a BLT.
Go in your mouth.
I'd just take a huge bite of it. I can't do that.
I can't make my kids lunch without eating it. In the morning.
Have you, real question. Have you ever sliced cheese up, like from a block of cheese?
Yeah, some
to make,
for
like,
me.
Grilled cheese.
Some for me and some for the
without eating the first, third, and fifth slice.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
I'm telling you, when I call people and the phone is ringing and I'm holding a sandwich, I will look at the sandwich, I'll hear the ringing going, I'll go, look, they're going to pick the phone up. Don't take the bite, and I shove it right in my mouth. There's no way I could. Every omelet I'd make would be a four-egg omelet, one egg for me, you get the three eggs. I'll just sit there and eat right over the flame. James?
Yes?
You're 23. What's up?
Yeah, I'm wondering, since about July 1st, it's very hard to get an erection. My penis is like small, almost as if you get out of the water for like 50% of the day.
You on medication?
No.
Did you do something to it?
I was bodyboarding around June 21st, and like the water was cold. My penis was, you know, shrunken up in the cold water, and it just pinched slightly on the bodyboard. That was the only thing I can think that happened, and now it's like really hard to get an erection.
You're not on any medication?
No.
Huh.
It's almost like there's no blood flow. It's numb, and I can't.
Did you ride a bike a lot?
No, not at all. I've ridden bike for a while. and it's there's like no blood flow. Like in the middle of the day, like it's warm outside, my penis head will be actually cold, which is really weird.
You're tucked in when it's...
Maybe your dick is haunted. No?
No, but...
Have you had an evaluation?
I saw the others last weekend, so I'm kind of on this jag now.
If something else is going on, like a thyroid problem or something else that might sort of be just getting your body, your whole system off?
No, I'm totally healthy.
Well, you don't know that. You have to get checked out. I mean, if you were like...
Well, last night at physical, there was nothing wrong with, like, my blood work or anything.
Is that since this has been happening?
That was probably about 6 months prior.
All right, well, now it's different. Now you've got a symptom here. You're really describing something. I mean, there is something going on.
Oh, I mean, a 23-year-old guy's been without the use of his penis for, what, two, 3 months now? A couple of months? What do you say, beginning of July?
Yeah.
James, what is that? July, August, man?
Are you having any sexual desire problems? I mean, do you think sexual thoughts anymore? Or did you ever?
Yeah, I do still. It used to be, you know, I could get it up like 10 times a day and ejaculate. Now it's like nothing.
But do you
have not beat off in 3 months?
Maybe a couple times, but then afterwards it just, boom, right to limp, and there's almost like no feeling in the head.
So you do get the erection?
Yeah, I can, but it used to be I could get it on command at any time, and now it's like it's not there unless...
Do you have back pain?
No.
Headaches?
No.
No other medical problems or other symptoms at all?
No.
You don't feel cold all the time, anything like that?
How about gas?
And I used to wake up, you know, with morning wood all the time, and now it's like...
Yeah, but that's a sign that it's a medical problem.
Oh, true. Oh, let me get something to fan it. Nothing makes me laugh like a good fart. Oh, that's... Yeah. All right. Well, you got to see the doctor, right, Drew?
No talent ass clown.
I let a nice one fly.
Oh, man.
To see the doctor, right?
Yeah. The fact that he doesn't have morning wood really shows how medical this is. I mean, this could be...
Urologist?
It's just for starters, yeah. I mean, this could be a lot of different things, and it needs to be sort of worked out.
Christina?
Oh, my God.
Hello?
Yeah, I had a little punch to it.
Oh.
You're 19. What's up?
I had a question. this is what's going on. You know, every time I'm with my boyfriend...
Yeah?
For some reason, when he touches me, like, around anywhere, you know, to stimulate me, whatever...
Yeah?
I get to urge, like, to pee. Like, I have to go to the bathroom.
Mm. What does he do to stimulate you?
Well, either if he's, like, licking me or kissing me, or either just, you know, putting his fingers around it, touching anywhere.
Is that always been that way, or is this your first partner?
No, actually, just with him. I mean,
Christina, we got a Mexican soap going on in the background.
It sounds like a scene out of Evita or something.
What's going on back there?
Shay out there barking away.
Okay.
Hi! What were you watching?
Oh, it's my mom. She's...
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's...
Mexican soap opera?
It's cleared up pretty nicely in here.
I'm sorry?
Cleared up fast.
All right, so you're out of the way of your mom? She's got quite a voice.
I'm in my room.
All right, so anyway, boy, you're talking that freely in front of your mom?
No, I'm in my room.
I know, but I can hear your mom clearly in the background.
Really?
Yeah, so that means that she might be able to hear you talking about your boyfriend licking on you.
No, she can't.
Okay. All right. You're very
But Father McConaughey in the living room,
right.
He might be able to.
Okay, so you he touches you and he stimulates you and you feel as if you have to go to the bathroom when you're stimulated. Even if he doesn't put anything in you.
Well, yeah.
Just on you?
When he's, like, inside me?
Well, that I'm hip to, but what...
Well, wait, when you're inside what? You do have it or don't have it then?
Well, sometimes, not all the time.
So it's not when he's inside, you don't have it then?
Either inside or outside.
Why don't you just evacuate your bladder before you engage in these activities and then not worry about it?
That means pee.
He's irritating your urethra through what he's doing, and, you know, it can make you feel like you want to pee.
Okay, because, like, I mean, either if, like, I'm sitting on top of him or if I'm laying down, I guess he, like, rubs on it.
Right.
And,
right.
It, you know, it makes me, like, want to urine for some
reason.
Right,
season. That's and right.
Like
your urethra.
Say, hey, I have to stop. I have to go to the bathroom, you know. It's
okay.
That's a moment, but, you know.
Wow. Yeah. What are you guys using for protection?
Condoms.
Right. All right. Maybe you get on that birth control, right?
Yeah. Thinking about it.
Well, you guys been together for a little while?
Yeah, we have. A while.
How long?
We've been together for about 7 months.
Okay. You guys having regular sex?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good times. All right, so get on that birth control. There's
all right.
The condoms, you know, they're not real reliable.
Okay.
All okay, right. Baby?
Yeah, I will.
Good plan.
Hey, thanks.
All right, good times, right? Punch your mom in the stomach for me, all right? Wow, what a loud mouth in that background.
It really sounded like some out of a, you know, Argentinian film or something. Like
a
political uprising.
Mexican soap opera going on in the background.
Mucho picante.
I'll tell you, we make fun of the Mexicans sometimes on the show, but the greatest music in the world. The greatest. You cannot, you just can't. You can't beat that really, 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 really super obnoxious squeeze box thing, you know?
No, that's not it.
No.
No.
It's that accordion going in the background with that big guitar that's just, I swear to God, I used to, I'd walk on a construction site hungover. That'd be blaring through some, you know, drywaller's radio. I'm going to go on a killing spree. Was it just pick up a claw hammer just to take out 8 or 9 people? All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Derek, who's 20. He and his now dead brother are pot addicts. All right, and they were molested by the dad. Well, this sounds good. All right, after this.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll
be right back.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Okay, let's hop to the phones. What do you say there, Drewski?
Let's go.
All right. Speak to Derek, who's 20. Derek?
Yeah?
Your brother died?
Yeah, he did.
Of what?
Oh, man, I don't know what to say. Me and pretty much all my brothers and sisters, there was 6 of us, and only one of us wasn't molested. And my brother is the one who told on my dad. And at the time, I was in the military. And this was back in February. And he called the cops, and my dad had always said, you know, if that ever happened to him, that he would kill himself before he went to prison. And
your dad had always stated that if he ever got busted for molesting any of his kids?
Yeah, that he would kill himself before he went to prison.
Who did he say that to?
All of them, probably. That's how he kept him under control.
That's what I was thinking.
You mean he would say, look, if you ever tell anybody about this and I get busted, I'll kill myself?
Yeah, that's how they.
I know it makes sense, but we don't hear about that.
Oh no, they always use some sort of extreme measure. They either say I'm going to kill your parents or I'm going to kill you. Or
yeah, we hear that, but I mean I haven't heard the kill myself thing.
I know we haven't because you would have said, hey, good.
Hold on,
that's sort of,
hey, good.
You'd be
thanks.
Like,
yeah. So your brother told. Is this your older brother or your younger brother?
My younger brother. He was 18.
18. Mm-hmm. And how long ago was this?
When he died, or
yeah,
when you he died August 4th.
So very recently.
Yeah.
What did your brother die from?
He hung himself.
Your brother.
Yes.
So your brother called the cops on your dad, and what happened?
The cops came to get him, and my dad had a gun on him to kill himself, and he pulled it out. The cops said, you know, put it down, and the cop shot and missed him, and then the second shot hit my dad in the face and killed him.
Hmm. Why?
Right, Drew?
Yeah, I'm just thinking he must have been wielding the gun at them, not at himself.
Oh, yeah.
He had the gun to kill himself, of course, and the cops saw it and told him to put it down. And
sometimes people go out there in front of police to try to get the police to shoot him. I mean, that's
yeah, that was probably his deal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and then
the thing is, he always said he would do that.
Yeah.
And it actually came down to it, and the cop was the one who actually killed him, and my brother was having trouble with his girlfriend and everything else going on at the time, and he really just could not take anymore, and he hung himself.
And just days later, weeks later?
Well, my dad died in February, and he died in August, so that's like, what, 6 months?
Right.
Wow.
And were you off in the military when all this went down?
Yeah, I was. I was out in California, and when I heard the news, see, the easiest way to get out of the military, of course, is to do drugs. I mean, I was out within 3 weeks, and I knew I had to be home, and that was the only way I could really do it, and it was the first time I've ever done any drugs before.
Mm. And where's your mom in all this?
She's at home right now.
Oh, boy.
How's she doing?
Actually, she's doing really well.
Well, that's good, I guess. And the rest of the brothers and sisters?
When my dad died, pretty much everybody moved out. It's like the only person left is my little baby sister that's still living with my mom. Everybody else is gone.
And she was abused, too?
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, your dad... Your dad sounds like a pretty evil dude. Of course, he's your dad. How do you feel about his death?
Well, when I first heard about it, I mean, all I did was scream. I stayed awake for 2 weeks. I was up for 2 weeks straight. And at the time, you know, the only thing I could find myself busy to do was to shine boots. So I shined everybody's boots in my platoon.
Well, is that a euphemism for masturbation, or is it? No, I actually shined everyone's boots.
That's what you say.
And you had all this energy and rage and everything, but your dad's dead now. I mean, he sounds like just a horrible, horrible guy.
Well, he wasn't really. That's the problem. I mean, that's not the real problem, but it just, nobody saw it. Nobody knew it except for us kids, and he had always said that he'd kill himself. And
yeah. Well,
it actually came down to it. My brother felt so bad for being the one that called, you know.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a horrible guy.
He molested five out of the six kids.
I mean, yeah. to everybody else, he wasn't really a horrible guy.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
You wouldn't take him for a child molester at all.
All right. But you know he was.
Yeah.
And you know, I know he's your dad, but man, he molested you, and he basically just got what he got his comeuppance, really. He just did.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
What's sad is that these things, some people believe they can treat these things. And, you know, if he'd gotten...
My real question is, I called my brother's girlfriend today, you know, just to see how she was doing, because she was really close with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I talked to her, and I told her I haven't had a night of sobriety since Dustin passed away. And I was wondering, you know, if she had any opinions for me or whatever, and she, you know what, she told me that Dustin hadn't had a night of sobriety since Dad died.
Yeah.
So he was doing pot and everything else for 6 months, and he couldn't take it anymore.
Well, but maybe that's what caused him to get so profoundly depressed. These things affect your brain chemistry, and you're under so much psychological stress already, you add the depletion of these different drugs, then you become suicidal.
And I noticed that today, too. I mean, today I was just really furious, really, really touchy. I was like, you know what? I don't know what I'm here for.
All right, Derek, why don't you get treatment? You've been through an incredible ordeal, enormous stresses, drug addiction possibly, tremendous loss. You got to get treatment for this. If your dad had gotten treatment earlier, maybe all this wouldn't have happened. If your brother had gotten treatment, he'd be alive.
Yeah, let's not let you... If anybody ever knew, he would have killed himself.
Well, let's not... No, let's not be... That's ridiculous. Let's not be another casualty of all this.
Yeah. Hey, you owe it... this sounds corny, but to your brother in a way, to pull yourself together, get some treatment.
And your mom, my God, how awful for her. She already lost one son.
Right. Have a good, productive life. You got to do that. Okay. Listen, I'm glad the guy bought it. No problem with that. Molested everybody. Threatened to kill himself. Someone turned him in. I feel bad for the cop that had to shoot him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'd be all right with that if I was the cop. He molested five kids. Wouldn't you? Look at this kind of part of your job.
I mean,
you know?
It's a hard call to make. If you really felt that these people could be helped in some way, if this guy was not beyond help.
No. Forget about help. I don't care if this guy worked at the Salvation Army for the rest of his life. He still molested five kids.
Yeah.
And effectively...
Ruined five lives.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. Karen?
Hi.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, basically, I love to have sex, and I just can't stop.
Yeah.
And, like, I think about it, I think, like, way more than guys and everything. And I think... I was wondering, like, maybe it's because I smoke weed sometimes.
Nope. If anything, that would dampen
it. Slows
you
down a little bit.
But speaking of molestation, that history probably is here, too.
Well, that's supposedly, but I don't think so.
Well, how did I magically know that was supposedly there?
Well, that's what my mom said. Well, she didn't say it, but I found her secret files. Like, she has these secret files about me. It's like, oh, she was molested or something.
Well, you're behaving, Karen, like someone who's been molested.
Well, you have secret files?
Well, Mom, like, hides them away because she doesn't want me to know.
What would...
I got to get into my mom's secret
files.
Yeah,
about what would she be keeping the secret files? Medical files?
Oh, no, it's just, like, a diary of, like, supposedly I came home and, like, I, like, was raped or something.
Okay, well, that
How old were you?
Like, 2, I guess, or something.
Oh, boy.
Really, like, little. I didn't remember it. I don't even think that it happened, really.
Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you it did. Because you're behaving like it.
Oh, really?
How many guys you been with?
Like, I don't know, maybe 50.
50 like, guys?
19, 18, 17. That's a sexual dig.
Yeah, that's a pretty good run. Do you really think 50?
Maybe less. I don't know.
Maybe 48.
It's hard to count.
It's hard to count?
Yeah.
Oh, in general or guys you've slept with?
Like, guys.
Oh, I see. In general, you could get to 50, though, right? I mean, if it's just...
Yeah.
Okay. I was confused.
It's just like I started like when I was like 13.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you're calling because you feel like you have a problem, though, right?
I think I have a problem. Maybe there's medicine. I don't know, but it's just like,
okay.
It's really weird because most people, girls, like, go for like 10 minutes, and I just go for an hour, and I'm still not satisfied.
Right. Okay, do you have a boyfriend?
Like, I have just basically, I've had a boyfriend before, but, like, after that, I said no more of that because I just got my heart broken, so I just, like, started sleeping with all these guys. Without really getting attached to them.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Like, there's just guys that I'll call up and stuff, and I'll just be like, you want to? And I'll be like, okay, but we won't really talk about anything.
Are you happy doing this?
Yes.
No, you're not. You're happy like someone who's slamming heroin says they're happy when they're doing heroin.
That's exactly right.
I mean, I keep getting in trouble. You know, my mom doesn't even know.
Okay, well,
like,
listen.
It's so hard to do.
Okay, hold on. Before you get eaten by a giant crab or something, you know, your vagina falls off or you end up going to juvie or something, you get pregnant again or whatever it is.
It's really not safe because I do it in cars and, like, just, like, cops, I could get caught or something.
That's right. Here's the point. You're acting very recklessly. And let me say this, Drew. When a woman, and this reminds me of basically teenagers that were... kids that were screwed over act out later in life.
Well, yes, it's like their brain gets wired this way now.
Well, and they're also looking for attention in a certain way, and they engage in dangerous behaviors. And guys, shut up, guys do it through physical stuff oftentimes, violent, dangerous, daredevil type stuff. Mm-hmm. They're jumping off of roofs and landing on card tables and stuff like that. It's all a form of, you're not paying attention to me, I may hurt myself. Pay attention to me. That's a lot of it. For the female version of that is have sex with every dude. Go off dangerous places with dangerous guys. Don't use protection. Do you know what I mean? That's there. That is like professional wrestling for 17-year-old females. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it's dangerous. But that's because their brain become wired to need arousal. And the arousal is what they live off. Arousal is their heroin, as you mentioned. And so sex and arousal become the way they manage their feelings.
No, but there's another aspect to it, which is
the guys,
I'm endangering myself. He listened to the way she's talking.
Just thinking, but the guys do it so the girls will pay attention to them.
No, they do it so their parents will pay attention to them.
Mm.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about. Karen?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're looking for trouble. You're definitely going to find it. You've already found most of it.
Yeah.
How about you just slow down with this? You get a little counseling. You keep your legs together for a couple of weeks.
There may be some medicine that can help. You asked about that. You may have some antidepressants.
You want to do anything with your life? You want to go to fashion school or something?
And learn cooking?
I want to be a psychologist.
You want to be a psychologist?
All right. Well, in your current state, there's not much chance of that, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess I probably want to sleep with the patients. That wouldn't be good.
That would not be good. That's right.
Do you do okay in school?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
But she realizes she shouldn't be sleeping with the patients.
What are you a senior in high school?
I'm a junior.
Junior. All right. Yeah. So you gotta get your grades up and take your SATs and all that so you can go off to college and be a psychologist, right?
Yeah, but I just kind of get in the way of that, I guess.
Yeah, okay. So listen, Drew,
please
tell
get
her
some
what
help.
To do.
Please get some help.
Really?
SAA, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
Okay.
SLAA.
Okay. Wasn't that group Patty Hearst was dragged into?
1A.
All right, when we come back, we'll speak to James, who's 21. His crush is getting married and wants to know if he should confess his love to her after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, and it's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. What's that in the background?
It's like cameras.
Is this girl's on film?
It's a copy I got.
Oh, really? What the hell is that? All right.
Wow.
All right. James?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to say real quick, during the commercial, I couldn't help but laughing because the local station played your favorite public service air turbulence announcement.
Oh.
And I was listening to that, and I couldn't help but snicker. I figured you'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Your body is meant to do a lot of things, like football.
But it's not meant to endure unexpected turbulence.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell that to the Broncos wide out. Cafferty.
Bumping.
What the hell?
Tickling. Shaving.
Yeah.
Loud noises.
Well, now, wait a minute. Hold it there for a second. Can you hold it? Loud noises, I think, cause more damage to the human body than air turbulence does.
Yes, it does.
It's deaf. You go deaf. Mm-hmm. All right, keep going here.
Childbirth.
Which is one of the leading causes of death and disability through history.
Historically, Drew, seriously, be honest. As a doctor, more people die giving birth or from airplane turbulence, historically?
Oh, it's such a close number.
It's close, isn't it?
Let's see. It would have been in the billions over history.
Almost six?
Zero.
I keep going. There had to be two or three people that died from airplane turbulence, Drew.
You would have heard about it.
Well, there could have been something from 88 that we didn't hear about. Some flight attendant that had a pre-existing condition or something.
Football!
All right, stop.
Right. All right.
Did you notice the flatline sound afterwards?
Yeah, football.
Very prophetic.
How many people died? You know how many people died from football this year so far? Just in training camp from the heat stroke and stuff? There's been like 10 people have died.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many from airplane turbulence? All right. What else? What else you got on there?
Football.
Bad cooking.
Food poisoning.
Rollerblading. Marathons. Even company meetings.
Uh-huh.
But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand.
What could this be?
Unexpected turbulence.
Oh, my goodness.
Brains are built to withstand that really well.
Yeah,
all you have to do is wear your safety belt the entire
time. You're what?
So next time.
Wait a minute. I hope they describe how to use that instrument when you get on the plane.
Drew, you're talking. I couldn't hear what he told me to wear.
Wear the what?
Built for it.
Some kind of harness apparatus you put over yourself when you're in the airplane, perhaps.
No.
Yes. Apparently. Yeah. Is there a number we should call to find out what the F seat belts are? How's that go? They really want us to follow up on that? Hey, I heard your poignant yet meaningless PSA on airplane turbulence. I heard you speak of a seatbelt. What could this be?
And perhaps you ought to ask the, what are they called, flight attendants to perhaps describe the use of these when you're on the plane. And maybe they could even check to make sure you're wearing them.
Impossible, Drew. Impossible. Next thing you know, you're going to be saying there's going to be light-up placards that suggest you put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
You're living in some sort of fantasy land.
When you're sleeping.
All right. Here's all I'm saying. The world's most worthless PSA I have ever heard in my entire life.
Where do you keep your wallet?
My hip.
Up your ass, you mutt!
That was number two.
That's number two. Okay, thank you, James. And listen, if anybody knows anybody who's involved with this airplane turbulence PSA and they have balls enough to call this show, I would love to talk to this person and try to get some of my tax money back from them.
All right, James, what's up? Look what you triggered here.
I know. I'm sorry for sending him off on that rant there. You're a very patient man, Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
My question for you is, I've known this girl for about 4 years. We both liked each other, had a crush on each other. Never really had a real relationship. She was dating somebody I wasn't. I was dating somebody she wasn't. And now we've gone to schools in separate states. Well, just found out that she's getting married, and I'm not really too happy about it.
She's 21?
Yeah.
Remember last?
Yeah, I'm thinking so, too. I think it's not a smart move, but
yeah.
The thing I'm wanting to know is...
Are you sure she had a crush on you?
Quite.
Are you really?
Yeah.
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 And you never worked that one out?
No, not well. She would be dating somebody, you know, would be in a relationship, and I had a, you know, was dating a girl that I really, really liked her, and then...
Yeah, but Drew, you know, when young people know that the two of them are into each other, and they're in proximity of each other...
Something's happening.
It's usually there's a way where there's a will. Mm-hmm. Is there not?
How? But there are different states.
No, not growing up.
Oh,
they just went off to college.
I see.
Well, we've known each other for about 3 years. We've been living in different states for about a year now.
All right. So she's getting married when?
I don't know.
And really, you're professing your love now?
Well, no. I mean, we've known each other for quite some time, but I'm somewhat hesitant to tell her that I really don't like the idea of her getting married to somebody else, you know, because I really would like to have a relationship with her and see if, you know, see if it works out. But
Who told you she was getting married?
She did herself.
She did. Do you think she was trying to get some response out of you?
No.
She just told you?
Yeah.
And this must be a guy she's been with for a while, right?
Someone she dated off and on. One of those ones that she was dating when I was, you know, while I was single, blah, blah, blah. But I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be selfish and be like, hey, I really like you, and then possibly screw up somebody else's, you know.
I think you're spazzing a little here because she's getting off the market, and let me give you an analogy. Once every 6 months, I go into the Good Guys or the Circuit City or the Stereo Store, and I narrow it down between like three TVs that I want, and I go, I don't know, give me that one. And then the guy comes back and he goes, well, we have the other two, but we're out of that one. And I'm like, Christ, how are we going to get it?
That's the one you want.
Now I need it, man. And they're like, well, if you go to... we have a store in Nicaragua. Uh-huh. Yeah? Yeah. If you charter a plane, okay, I'm gone. You're going to have to parachute in because there's no landing strip at that. No problem. Now it's like... The fact that I can't get this one now, a minute ago it was between that and three. You could have just spun a wheel. I wouldn't have cared. Now that I found out that one is gone, I need that one. That's how guys are, by the way.
I'd thought about that. Do you think I should say anything to her? Tell her how I feel and what I've been thinking about? And this is not something that's just all of a sudden came up. I felt this way for a long time.
I think... As long as you don't lay it on too thick.
When is she going to get married?
There's not a set date.
I mean, it's not like it's going to happen in 2 weeks or something.
No.
I think it's all right to talk to her. I mean, it's okay to tell your feelings.
All right.
But don't lay it on too thick, James, because we're sort of questioning, Adam's on many levels questioning the sort of clarity of your attraction. Because you're with her for 2 years and nothing happened, and now suddenly she's off the market, and pow, you got to have her. There's a lot of sort of strangeness to this.
And they've never had a relationship.
Yeah.
He's really creating a fantasy here. I mean, yeah, he knows her. He likes her. He doesn't even know what her breath smells like.
Yeah.
She could have a smelly foo-foo.
Mm. Imagine that.
Yeah, speaking of smell there.
How do you know?
Huh?
How do you know that's going to be a bad one?
I got it.
Oh!
Whoo, Lord. For those of you at home, I just let a nice one go and waved it over toward Drew. Drew is a doctor. What do you give that one?
Six, seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
No, not bad. Jay?
Yeah.
Needs a little more volume.
Yeah, yeah. With a light volume, but good consistency and a nice, nice body.
Nice bouquet, yeah.
Yeah, assertive without being pushy. Jay?
Yeah.
29, I'm sorry.
Oh. Punishing.
What's going on, guys?
I'm just farting on Drew.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
I'm telling you. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I've got an addiction to prescription pain medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of wondering what long-term effects I can look forward to.
Well, bad addiction, that's all. The interesting thing about opiates is they don't really hurt your brain in any significant way whatsoever.
Okay.
Except it causes the most severe form of addiction.
Okay.
And you really got to do something. You have to be treated. It doesn't stop by itself.
Well, I've tried NA and that was unsuccessful. I'm wondering, is there anything to curb the addiction?
Yeah, NA. And you need to go into a program. You need to think about opiate addictions. You have to be in a very highly structured environment for a long time, like 6 to 12 weeks.
Well, it's two evils. It's either alcohol or pain pills.
Yeah, well, it all triggers the same reward mechanism in the brain.
Right.
And listen, that's what addiction is. If you can stop using these drugs, go ahead and stop. And if you can't, you're an addict. And then we know that means tons of things about the biology of your brain, and that this little system outside of any volitional control is operating, causing drive, and actually changing your thinking, changing your behaviors. And that little mechanism doesn't have language, doesn't have logic, and you can't communicate with it, and it's operating, and that's it. It's over. Once it's game on with that part of the brain, that's it. You have the disease.
Yeah.
And it has to be treated.
Drew, yeah. You've never been hooked on anything, but I can tell you.
Oh,
I tell you, I drink my wine when I come home at night. Oh. You get some more gas?
No.
I didn't fart again.
It just...
How dare you?
Just settles here and there.
I'll tell you, the thought of giving that up would be unthinkable to me.
Your wine every night.
Yeah, really would. Really unthinkable.
That says, speaks volumes. How about giving up masturbation or even toning it down by half?
You want another fart? Because that's where you're cruising for. Is that what you want? Is that what you want?
No, Mr. Kroll. Sorry, sir.
Huh?
Sorry. Yes, sir.
Okay, then. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back. Hey, love line there, kiddies. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the phones and speak to, who is that?
Lucy.
Yeah.
You're 18?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I first want to tell you guys, thank you for keeping me out of a lot of trouble lately.
Oh, good. What's happening?
Well, now it's bad, actually.
Oh, great. I feel
nice job,
better.
Drew.
I feel much better.
I was a virgin until I was 18. I just had sex for the first time like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, I did eat like really early this morning, about 4 a.m., and I drank a little bit and smoked a little bit, like 12 or something. And then I was having sex with my boyfriend, and right as he was finishing up, he says that the condom slipped off, or I don't even know if he took it off, but he's not my boyfriend now because he left right after that.
This was when?
This morning.
This afternoon. Yeah, what? You taking the E at 4 a.m.?
Well, we had been up all night last night. My parents are out of town, so.
Right. Well, let me explain.
Never leave kids behind.
Let me explain drug use to everybody. Here's where I believe people get into trouble. You got your drugs that are basically uppers, and you got those that are downers. You know, the weed and the booze. That's kind of a wind down drug. You know, the Quaaludes, the painkillers and things like that. Quaaludes, that stuff, and then the stuff, the coke and the speed and the X. That stuff keep you going. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
That stuff you take earlier in the day. You don't take that stuff at 4 a.m. You never go to bed.
Oh, yeah. No, Pops, you've never been to a rave, have you?
What? Yeah, well, you go to a rave, you drop the E at 8, 9 in the evening, and you're going good. You don't do it at 4 a.m.
Well, I just been up all night long, and I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
We didn't have anything to do. So.
Well, you made a mistake, that's all.
Nothing to do, a little E.
Yeah.
There you go.
At 4 a.m., that's weed and booze and Quaaludes.
Oh, God.
But, So
the condom slipped off, and he showed you no concern.
Yeah.
And he just left.
Pretty much. He didn't even say goodbye. He passed out.
Good.
The next thing I know, I heard him ride off on his motorcycle.
Oh, good guy.
So I was a little bit pissed off, to say the least. And then,
Well, I'll tell you something. For someone who's been a virgin until 18, you sure hit the ground running.
Yeah.
Once you got started, didn't you?
Yeah, it's because I'm going off to college. Got a little too excited there, you know.
Right.
So I went and I got some emergency contraceptive.
Where'd you get him?
At Kaiser.
Good.
Yeah.
Where are you going to college?
I don't want to say.
In California?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It's UC. And then I was wondering if it's going to work at all. Like, if I'm...
I think it'll be all right. It'll be fine.
Because if I need to throw up or something, am I going to... If
you may throw up, but usually it's because you've absorbed the medication.
Okay.
So go ahead and take it.
So it's not... The emergency contraception may make you throw up.
Yeah.
Just like the birth control pill, when you double up, can make you throw up.
That's right.
But it's not because it's irritating your stomach. It's because it's been absorbed into your body.
That's right.
And now your body's having a reaction that's making you nauseated.
That's right.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, that's how you would know it was absorbed in your body.
Yes.
So when you throw up, theoretically, it's been absorbed.
That's right. I mean, so occasionally people see the pill come back, and maybe not the whole thing hasn't been absorbed, but usually it's pretty well absorbed by the time they're vomiting.
Would it be quicker absorption if it was in a liquid form?
Yeah.
What about, could you do that in a little gel cap or
that's
something?
Interesting question. I don't know what the issues are in that. I don't know.
Yeah, because it seems like...
Seems like, though, if they were able to do that, they'd do it. Maybe they don't say true, in suspension. See, some people don't say in suspension well. They don't, you know, you have to be able to, every drop has to have the same amount in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's to dissolve completely.
Yeah.
This may not do that.
Yeah.
And where do you think she's going to school?
She's going to Santa Barbara? UC school, so it can't be too bad, right?
Yeah.
They're all good. John?
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 Yeah.
John?
Yeah.
You're 35, John.
Yeah, I got a question for Dr. Drew.
John.
My wife and I have two kids. First one's 2 years old. We all got brown hair and brown eyes. Second kid is 8 months old. Got blue eyes and light reddish hair. I'm wondering if there's a simple test. I know the DNA tests are complicated. If there's something simple I can do to kind of nail it down.
Well, you do the old watering trough test where you, like how they figure out whose horse it really is in the Old West. You put the kid in the middle of the living room and you both start screaming and clapping its name.
See where it goes. John, no. You must have more trouble than just this if you are suddenly suspicious just based on pigment.
How old is the kid?
8 months.
Don't a lot of kids have blue eyes?
Absolutely, and a lot of kids have different pigments early in life.
When do the blue eyes turn to S brown, like my family's eyes? Is that 2, 3?
By then it would have, for sure.
So a lot of, I mean, Drew, stop me or correct me, but 20% of the United States has blue eyes, but 50% of the babies have, like, blue eyes, right? It's something like that?
It's, you know, those kinds of numbers.
And it changes.
Yes.
So the fact that your kid has blue eyes at 8 months doesn't mean anything. But I don't know about the red hair part.
It means nothing either. But the point is, why are you freaking out about this and what's going on in your relationship?
Exactly, and I don't have a reason to. It's killing me to... When I hold him, he's my kid, but then I just kind of double clutch it a little.
Sure, kick that kid out. Trouble making 8 month old.
But I mean, he's so different from his brother too. My first one was born with a full head of hair, brown eyes, dark complexion, and the second one, light skin, no hair, faint light reddish hair.
I got a theory that's not going to help. I think the second one is yours, and the first one is not yours.
No, first one's my twin.
Okay. Well, look, I've seen Drew's triplets. He's got two sons. They look nothing like each other.
Nor me. Nothing like me.
Douglas looks a little like you, and Jordan looks more like your wife.
It started out the other way.
Yeah, but the point is, here these kids came out of the same place at the same time. They're two of the three litter. And they don't look anything alike.
Anything.
One of them's black, actually. Jordan's
what
black.
What about blood types? Does that matter?
Yeah, there's certain blood types that wouldn't make sense.
But listen, do you think your wife was screwing around on you?
No.
No?
Well.
Well, what do you think? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what you're saying here.
I mean, do the math.
All I get from you, John, is you're paranoid. That's all I get. You are exquisitely paranoid. And I imagine this isn't the only area in life that you have a paranoia.
Probably.
And the fact that you... Are you doing speed or anything like that?
No.
Stimulants? I mean, you got a problem with being suspicious of people. And here, a child's pigment, which is highly changeable in the first year of life, you're already concocting a plan about...
It's just that the first one was so
hey, John,
dead on.
Forget it. You're paranoid. And unless you have some reason to believe that your wife is screwing around, let it go.
And what's up with the paranoia in general? Are you worried in life about, people ripping you off or stealing your tools or doing that kind of stuff?
I guess I'm always cautious of everybody around me.
What do you do for a living?
I'm in the grocery business.
Aha. Uh-huh. All right. And are you paranoid of coworkers? And you're one of these guys who's worried that people are going to screw you over, right?
No, not really.
No?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Well, then just get over it. Kids are different. That's fine. Okay?
All right.
All right, let it go.
Let it go. Okay. Don't hold the kid and wonder if it's yours.
That's really destructive for the kid.
Very damaging.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. I think the wife had an affair with either Danny Bonaducci or Johnny Whitaker.
It was Johnny Whitaker.
Johnny Whitaker was the red-haired, bushy-haired kid from Family Affair. Come on, Drew. You don't know Johnny Whitaker?
No. I can't remember even his
yeah.
name of the show.
But now you know. Jody?
Missy, Jody.
Mrs. Beasley?
Mr. Jimmy? French.
Hello? What's up?
You're 19. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just, right now I'm employed at a porno store.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding kind of hard to get sexually attracted to my, well, not sexually attracted, just want to have sex with my girlfriend.
What do you do at the porno store?
I'm a cashier. I'm at work right now, actually.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Hey, look down. You have a display case there?
I'm actually looking at the register right now.
Right. Can you go ahead and take your gaze and move it just a little bit toward the display case?
No. There's nothing in the display case. There's just video head cleaner right now.
Ooh, head cleaner. Get it?
Yeah.
No dildos or vibrators?
To my left, yeah.
Oh, no.
On the wall.
Sorry, I was talking about the display case to your right. Exclusively. Nothing there?
No.
Well, then forget it. I mean, if you're going to start going to your left. Oh, wait a minute. That would be to my right if I was facing the counter.
Oh, see, you might have been confused.
Interesting. Okay, let's get back to him. So there, is there a display case to the left?
Yeah.
I've also noticed that...
Hold on. At what point in this call did I say immediately to your right? Did I just say look down and look at the display case?
Yeah, there's nothing in. There's just video head cleaner in the one right below me.
Ooh.
The one right below
you. Is there anything interesting in the other one to your left?
No, just bachelorette party stuff.
Yeah? What is that, like velvet handcuffs and things?
No, paper plates with guys on them. Hats.
Pants. And now, where do you keep the vibrators?
On the wall.
On the wall?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they do it differently over there in Illinois. And do you have to test those things out before you sell them?
We just put batteries in them to see if they work.
Oh, you don't actually put it up your ass?
No.
In L.A., we have to do that.
Really? Because,
yeah, we have very strict consumer reports. I think Nader got onto this, which was, it's not enough just to actually fire up the vibrator. It has to be put to use. And usually it's a guy buying it, so there's really only one orifice it can go in. So you do put the batteries in and fire the thing up before you sell it.
Yeah.
That has to be one of the most humiliating aspects of any job. What'd you say, Drew? Firing the thing up?
Yeah. But isn't it more humiliating to the person who's actually buying it? Mightn't it be a little bit sort of masochistic, sadistic fun for the...
It is a surreal... I have done this on more than one occasion. It is a very surreal moment when you and the stranger guy who's behind the booth... And by the way, you guys always stand on these, like, 3-foot risers.
Yeah.
So you're always up, like, you're at 9 feet when everyone else is at 6 feet.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird thing, Drew. The guy's like, look, he's over your head. It's like the Wizard of Oz, you know?
Why do they do
that? Test the vibrator, Luke. And you're just standing in front of the counter, and he fires the thing up.
But what is it about the human primate that they'd set it up that way in this setting? You know what I mean?
This is one of the only retail settings I'm aware of where the people stand on a riser that is a 2 or 3 feet above.
They must be trying to rise above the humiliation in the room in general.
Well,
and the customers in particular.
There's usually a good 18 inches of semen on the ground.
Yeah, you wake up above that. Oh, I see. So you stay off the floor. Okay.
Now, what they want to do is they want to say, look, you deadbeats, no beating off in the back alley in the stump section. We got an eye on you. We can see over the alley. I mean, you know, over the aisles and take a look back. Okay, so Jimmy?
Yeah.
Now you're being bombarded with this stuff, and now, you, like a guy who works at an ice cream store, you don't want ice cream when you get home.
No.
You've seen enough.
Yeah.
Okay. How good a job is this? I mean, what does it pay?
It's not that bad, like, around here. Like, not, I'm sure it'd be, like, crap in L.A., but here it's, like, $8 an hour, and I don't really do anything all night, so.
Yeah. But it's still, it's kind of costing you your sanity in a way.
Your spiritual self.
Yeah. It's weird. And it's a weird breed that comes in there, isn't it?
Yeah, especially really odd when there's teachers that, like, old high school teachers come in and everything.
Yeah. Oh. Uncomfortable for you and for them, I would imagine.
Yeah.
True, I just...
Did you fart again?
Yeah, I let a fart go.
I'm standing my ground this time.
Standing.
It's like taking punches.
That one was good. Jimmy, that one was so good.
Literally, it's like being a boxer.
Yeah.
Just trying to hold my ground.
Yeah.
And you land a good left.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, get out of that environment. It's nothing to build a dream on. Plus, that whole thing where you're testing the vibrator out for the guy who taught your PE class 2 years ago. Wait a minute, Drew. I got another one.
No.
Always try to remember what to do if the atom bomb explodes right then. It's a bomb. Duck and cover.
Oh, boy. Oh, that was bad. Oh, this is going to be a good, good night. It's going to be a good night. Anthony?
Yes, sir.
Hey, 22. Oh, that one was just bad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Anthony, you should be here.
I'm kind of glad that I'm not.
Yeah, Drew's really reeling in pain. He's flapping the door, trying to. You're creating a swirl combustion chamber in here, Drew. You're hurting your cause. Just hold still. Let me tell you something. When I fart, it's like a bear attack. Just hold still. But play dead. Try to slow your pulse down and use less oxygen. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, what's up? Drew, come on. Act like a professional. Go ahead.
About December of 2000 last year, I was diagnosed with epididymitis in my left testicle.
Right.
And after they prescribed me with some antibiotics and some painkillers. Y'all all right over there?
Yeah. Yeah, painkillers, right?
Yeah, and they prescribed me with antibiotics and painkillers.
Right.
Only 5 days.
Right?
Five days only?
No, they told me, no. They gave me 10 days worth of antibiotics.
All right.
And the first ones were doxycycline.
Right.
And they told me to take those for 10 days and do 5 days bed rest.
Good.
And at that time, I was working, and I wasn't able to take the 5 days off, so I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Probably should have, but didn't. And it didn't go away. I mean, it's excruciating pain. And I went back to the doctor, and they prescribed me with more antibiotics. They prescribed me with another 10-day dosage of ciprofloxacin.
Ciprofloxacin, that's better, yeah.
And I took those. He told me to take the 5 days bed rest because it won't get better if I don't.
Okay.
So he gave me a doctor's note, and I took it to work and took my 5 days bed rest, and it got a little better. It didn't hurt as much as it used to, because I mean it hurt bad to where I'd be doubled over in pain.
Hmm. And have you seen a urologist?
No, not yet.
I think you should.
Oh yeah, after I took all the antibiotics and everything, it still didn't go away.
Sometimes anti-inflammatories help too, like Aleve. Take a couple of those 2-3 times a day.
True. Why are you talking through your sweater?
Why the hell do you think I am?
Come on, pull that down. Really focus on the show now. There's kids out here who need to be helped. Look at this guy. He needs to see the urologist.
He's going to see the urologist. It's fine.
Oh, no. Oh, look. Ann, he's spraying a Lysol all over the food here. Drew, please. Breathing that stuff in is worse. How dare you?
Ooh, it seems like somebody crapped in a pine tree.
All right, come on, Drew, you offend me. Now I got to talk through my shirt.
You're like the witch and the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, melting! Richard?
Yeah.
All right, you have sex with your dog?
Yeah.
You also like horses?
Yeah.
Is that just a sidebar, or you mean you like to have sex with horses?
I fantasize about it.
You do? Okay. What kind of dog do you have?
It's an African sheepdog.
Pure blood?
It's got the blue and black eye.
Ah, yeah, that's a good. That's a good looking dog.
Australian sheepdog.
Yeah, I thought that was an Australian sheepdog.
The African sheepdog.
Hey, Richard.
Yeah.
You don't know what kind of dog you're humping, do you?
No, I do. It's just I'm pretty sure it's an African sheepdog.
I think that's an Australian sheepdog. The blue and the black eye.
One of the two.
And the brown eye. How big is this dog?
It's about. Maybe 3 feet off the ground. It's a pretty big dog.
What's its name?
Mooch.
All right. Well, what do you mean you have sex with it?
Well, I blew it.
You blew the dog?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you do, lose a bet?
No.
And you're 16?
Mm-hmm.
You calling from San Diego?
Yeah.
I haven't checked the map lately, but not a lot of guys blowing dogs in San Diego.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the problem with this could be, like what's causing it.
We're not quite sure if we believe you.
Yeah, we don't really believe you.
No, honestly, yeah. I'm telling the truth. That's why I've been trying to call for like 3 days now.
Yeah. We're getting the thumbs down from producer Ann, who's on my list now that she brought the Lysol into the studio and ruined my gas roll.
Well, it just zoophilia in general is often some sort of disorder of attachment, usually some deprivation the first couple years. Did you have anything unusual about your upbringing?
Well, I was molested as a child, yes.
All right. How old were you when you molested?
I think I was under age of 9.
How old were you?
Let's see here.
You are a bare-faced liar.
I was about 6 years old, 5, 6 years old. It was by my next door neighbor.
What was his name?
Raymond.
How old was he?
He was a couple years older than me, but I don't know for sure. I never really got his age. Mm. They were like big drug dealers and stuff. I don't really know.
He was 8 and a big drug dealer?
Yeah, his parents were like really weird parents.
Okay, and the other thing that goes along with this usually is some kind of abandonment in early childhood. Were you an orphan or anything like that?
I still have all my parents.
You weren't left alone for long periods of time as a young child?
No, my mom was like a really caring mother.
Yeah. How's the dog with all that? Put the dog on the phone.
But the dog's not here. It's outside.
The dog's outside? Probably bragging.
Well, again, you
no, hold on. Do you give this dog oral sex until the dog has an orgasm?
No, he can't. He's been fixed.
That dog is a gay homosexual.
So people do funny stuff.
I mean, I'm starting to believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Richard, this is more about the sexual abuse, it sounds like, and that's something that needs to be treated. And this may be just some of the acting out you're doing.
No, wait a minute. Does the dog, you know how the dog penis is like lipstick?
Yeah.
Coming out of the thing? Does the lipstick part come out of the thing?
Yeah, it's like, it's like, gets like a little ball down there and then it pops out,
Yeah. What's that taste like?
Iron.
Tastes like iron?
Yeah.
Has a metallic taste to it?
Yeah, but something like that.
Hold on a second. This story's checking out.
Yeah, I know.
I hate to say it, but it's checking out. Iron's a weird, that's not a BS answer. I mean, I could see that, too, because the dog's probably, so it probably makes you like a metallic, first off, dog eats nothing but meat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could see it having an iron.
Lots of iron in its system.
Well, it's true, right?
All right.
Okay. The dog, you don't see dog eating a cauliflower or anything. It's nothing but just mushed up horses, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the horse penis and the dog penis do the same thing for him, just one's bigger. You know what I mean? They both have the...
retractable?
Yeah.
I just wanted to see the wet pink stick.
Is that Andy Dick?
Yeah.
All right, so, Richard?
Yeah.
I believe you.
Okay.
All right. You got a lady friend?
I actually just broke up with one, yes.
So, you see, this may be just other forms
broke up
of,
with your girl?
Huh?
You broke up with your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Why? Because she spoke and... stuff like that?
No, she was really weird. She was actually 13.
You weren't blowing her, were you?
Actually, I was.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Richard?
Yeah.
Here's the important thing in life. I don't really care that you blow your dog.
Yeah.
I really don't. That's fine with me. I whatever you want to do in the comfort and safety of your parents' house to your own pet, it's none of my beeswax. It really isn't.
Okay.
The only thing that worries... me about any of this kind of bizarre behavior for anybody is what does that mean for society?
Right, or what you might do to kids.
If you're capable of giving your dog a BJ, certainly you're capable of screwing with someone who's underage or doing something bad and hurting someone else's life.
Well, yeah.
I pretty much keep to myself. I'm really popular at school. Nobody knows. And
No, wait a minute. Now, why would he call if nobody knows?
Because I felt it was wrong, and every time I do it, I feel guilty, but I still get the urge.
Right.
But I just, I would like to stop, but...
Oh. Speaking of stopping, I just let another good fart go. All right. Hey, Richard.
Yeah.
Feel free to stop.
This is another kind of a sexual compulsion. It's sexual behaviors that cause distress or could be harmful to people or animals. That's something that needs to be treated, Richard.
Right.
It really
Can't he just stop?
If he can't, then he's already messing with a 13-year-old.
Okay, but listen, how hard would it be for you to stop blowing your dog? On, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but maybe he'll start acting out on 8-year-olds.
8-year-old dogs? Because no, that people. That's people. Like a 65-year-old.
I just think he needs to see something about all this. He doesn't have to tell anybody what he's doing necessarily. But, oh, what? Oh, what the hell did you eat?
I don't know, but there's some clams involved.
He'll be right back.
Yeah. And you know what I did, everybody? I took producer Ann's precious Lysol. I snatched it off the desk and threw it in the garbage, and then I let a couple of good ones stay on.
Whoa!
Oh.
Go to break. Let's go.
We're going to take a break. I'm going to swallow some air, and we'll be back.
Back in a minute.
Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. If you just joined the show, I'm having a banner ass night. Letting lots of good gas go.
Yeah, like you're like erupting.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks. Good times.
Good times. See what we can cook up during this. Melanie.
Yes, hi.
Hey, you're 23. What's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much.
All righty. What's your question?
Oh, no.
Problem, you mean?
Yeah, what's your problem?
This is Adam's version of introspection. We're concentrating on producing gas. Right?
Yeah. Focus.
I can feel you focusing. You like got the eye of the ninja here.
Shh. Oh. Go ahead.
What's going on over there?
Oh, I wish I knew. I wish you could be stopped.
All right. Well, the problem is, okay, I met this guy. We lived in the same building together. He lived upstairs and I lived downstairs. And that's how we met. And we were dating for a couple of months. And just recently, 2 weeks ago, he moved out. And ever since then, it's just been weird. Like, whenever I call him on the phone, I'll probably talk to him for like 30 seconds and I'll be like right in the middle of a conversation with him and then, or trying to start one. And then he'll be like, yeah, you know, I got to go, bye, and like click, like hang up on me, you know.
Has a guy never broken up with you before?
No, no.
You've never had a breakup?
No.
Well, here you go.
This is how they work.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's heading out.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I don't know what to do. It's just been probably for the past couple of weeks or something.
And by the way, this is the way cowards do it.
They're
shutting you out, as opposed to saying, hey, you know what, they
treat you like a bill collector.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah. I didn't do anything wrong, and everything was cool with our relationship before.
Yeah, you that's know, what they all say.
You know what, like, I think it was because, like, when we lived in the same building, it was really easy to see each other, and then, like, lately it hasn't.
Well, you were a service contractor,
in your mind, look, if he could have drilled a hole in his floor and stuck his penis through it, and you hop up on a chair and give him a BJ through the ceiling.
Well, of course I would.
He would have been happy about that.
No, do you understand? That would have been all he's looking for. You understand?
Yes, but it didn't really seem that that's all he was looking for.
Here's what happened, and we don't want to be too hard on you, but because you were having sex, you assumed you two were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He assumed it was more of a service thing, a convenience thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's, you know, moved out, he's you know, into somebody else or once out, and in his mind, he's rationalizing. He's saying, hey, I never said I was her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I never made any kind of commitment. I never gave her a ring.
She was just the girl who lived downstairs.
There's no reason to officially break up. We never were together.
Really?
But meanwhile, you were feeling like, you know, you're having an intimate relationship with somebody.
Listen, listen to what Adam said about drilling the hole in the floor.
Okay.
That is reality.
Okay, so there you go. This happens to everybody.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It just seems so abrupt, you know?
I know.
It seemed abrupt. It seemed like we were having so much fun together.
I've had this question 150 times over.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell's up? We're having a good time. I'm not doing anything. Yeah. Wait, sex is fun. Where are you going? What's going on?
Yeah, like, whenever he comes over here, which is rarely, like, I'll try to go kiss him, and then he'll, like, totally push me away. Like, he'll be like, no, you know, like, push me away. And then he slept over here the other night. He totally slept on the couch and, like, left me in my bed, like, totally alone. Didn't even want me over there.
So what's he going to have to do? Sock you in the stomach next time he sees you to give you the message?
Yeah, well,
he ain't into it.
Yeah.
That's all right. You find a nice guy.
Yeah.
The guy would be happy to be with you.
I guess just I've got to move on.
But be more realistic about what a guy is doing in a relationship. Make it get clarity about, just because the guy's having sex, most of the time a guy's just having sex. That doesn't mean he's having a relationship or experiencing anything other than the physical contact.
Well, also, too, it's not like you're learning the customs of a new tribe or something. People react the same way you would react in a relationship. Meaning, if you go to someone's house and you don't want to sleep with them and this person goes to kiss you and you push them away, that would mean you weren't interested.
Yeah.
And when they do it to you, it means they're not interested. Mm-hmm. You have to assume that. All right. Let's talk to Robert, who's 17. Robert?
Hey.
What's up?
Okay. I was having a one-night stand with this girl about 4 or 5 days ago. And I didn't use a condom. She was over at my house. And I guess I was hanging out with her the next 2 days, and we had gotten high together. And she told me that she was on her period. And she said she had just gotten it that same night, or that day, the next day, after the night we had done it. And I was just wondering what the chances are, because I don't know. I've heard different things from everybody about, you know, they can't get pregnant on their period.
No, they can, but she had her period the next day, right? Right. Yeah, it's unlikely.
Unlikely.
Yeah.
I mean, as a precaution, you might ask somebody to take the morning after pill, but
well, if you guys had sex and their period kicked in the next day, yeah, you're fine.
There are certain, yeah, some areas, some Planned Parenthoods won't even give you the pill, the morning after pill, if she has a period.
And it is, in order to get pregnant, you have to be ovulating, and most women aren't ovulating on their period, right, Drew?
Exactly.
It doesn't make it impossible. Right, it just means it's highly unlikely.
Yeah.
Because with my ex-girlfriend, I never used a condom.
Well, you got lucky.
She was on birth control.
Oh, all right, fine. You didn't get lucky. You made the appropriate... You planned.
And I pulled out also.
Well, but listen, the pill is overwhelmingly effective. So.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So it is...
All right.
Boy.
Well, I had sex with my girlfriend unprotected for years. Never got her pregnant. Oh, she was on the pill. She'd had her tubes tied. Yeah. She was dead. You know, when you're constructing those kinds of thoughts and sentences in your mind, how does that work? At what point do you just stop yourself? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where's the editing? Christina?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, you're 19. What's happening, babe?
I'm having some real difficult times right now. I mean, I had a job for about 2 years. The same place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quit because I got a better job opportunity. And I went there, and then all of a sudden I got laid off a month later.
Yeah.
Because some bad stuff going on there. Illegal stuff. So.
What kind of job was this?
It was a moving company.
Oof.
And it was kind of a underground type thing going on. I've been paid under the table and all sorts of stuff like that. So.
Right.
And I've been I'm like a shopaholic.
Uh-huh.
And I've been that way for quite some time now. And
what does it mean? You like buying stuff or you like shop class?
No, I like buying things.
I see.
Like
I'm always confused when I hear that.
Left and right. And
right.
I go on the internet and I buy things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have no money though, right?
I had credit cards and I tried to pay them and... Now it's just come down to I have, like, no money because I've been laid off, and now I'm back at my old job, which pays, like, crap.
Yeah.
So
why don't you declare bankruptcy?
Really? Should she really do that?
Because, you know why? There's a Chapter 7, I think it is about to sort of be undone where you can be excused from your debts.
Yeah.
They're going to get rid of that, basically.
I really don't want to do that. I mean, I live at home right now.
Right.
And I know that my dad's telling me that's the worst thing I can do right now.
Well, look, how much do you owe?
It's about $10,000 worth of credit card.
All right.
Plus, I bought a car last year when I had good credit.
Right. Bought a new car.
And I'm paying for that. And
well, how about can you get out from under that and start saving a little more and...
Yeah, I'm trying. I don't know if I want to get 2 jobs, and my dad's been helping me through this whole thing.
Yeah, get a cheaper car, get 2 jobs.
Yeah,
get going.
The only problem with getting 2 jobs is like I have a full time boyfriend right now. I mean, I've been with him for almost 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Can't he start paying you for sex?
Paying me for sex?
Well, I think he would.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. I guess I'm good enough.
You good? Yeah, you work out a little payment chart.
Yeah.
$15 for a BJ, $20 if you swallow, $25 for intercourse, and $50 for anal.
Hey,
that adds up.
Hey, huh?
All right, listen, Christina, look, we don't know anything about money.
I like Christina.
I'm fine with Christina,
too. She's going to be fine.
She's living at home. Her dad's helping her out.
She's
going
to be fine. Just bite the bullet. I think she's resisting really taking the plunge. She wants to keep her car. She wants to keep shopping. Time to grow up, Christina. It's time.
All right. Drew, did you have a credit card when you were younger? Your folks gave you that credit card but told you couldn't use it for anything?
And I didn't.
And you didn't, but you had it.
Yeah.
But it's good to have, like, if you need to rent a car.
Well, I was across the country and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. I had, I think I got my first credit card when I was, like, 26.
Yeah.
And it was one of those secured ones where you give them $500, and then they let you use $300 of your money. It's really retarded. And then they're worried, you know, about you paying them back.
Yeah.
You get these notices. It's like, listen, give me a worst-case scenario here. A bank of Hoven. It was worst case scenario. I gave you $500, right? I've just spent $310. You're holding $500 of my money. Let's just say I stop making my payments. How bad could this go for you? You know what I mean? You got the $500 there.
Wow.
It's always funny too. You give them, you have to give them $500, but they don't give you the whole $500 credit. You know, they save a little something for wear and tear. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Then you get that credit card debt going. And what they don't really tell you is they give you that minimum payment.
Yeah.
You make that minimum payment for the rest of your life.
Yes, that's right.
I made that minimum payment thing.
Well, I think accrues.
You pay like $39 a month. The principal's like $4,000. You pay $39 a month. 3 years goes by. Principal, same amount. Didn't pay anything off.
Boy.
Horrible, horrible life. Thank God I'm literally a millionaire right now. Literally. Literally. And Drew.
Literally?
I'm going to enrich your life,
no,
too.
No. Let's go. Break.
No. No. And
you want to see me cry?
That's right. And, you know, for those of you who think the flapping is just some sort of ritual that guys go through or some sort of theatrics, it's not. It works. Right, Drew? Doesn't it? Devin?
Yes.
Oh, I just nailed Drew.
Drew loves it.
Just killed him. He does like
the
it.
The door's closed.
He likes it in his own way. In his own way.
How are you guys doing?
Yeah, 26. I just let a huge fart go.
26.
Let a big fart go on Drew.
Do what?
Drew's no good to anybody.
I just want to tell you guys, first of all, I love your show. I listen to it every night.
Thank you.
You guys are great.
Thanks, Devin.
You're doing it by yourself. Right?
Thanks. Hey, Devin, we got to take a break because Drew has to stick his head out of the window.
Okay.
All right.
Don't fart again.
Vomit.
No, I'm gonna save it, you know, during the break, and then I'll just save it for when we come back in the studio, right?
All right.
I know you were molested by your older brother.
Yes.
And you want to know if that made you gay?
Yes.
Are you gay now?
That's the only relationship I ever had was gay relationships. But
you're gay,
right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. We'll get to the bottom of that. Yeah. Drew's going to get to the bottom of my bottom when we come back, all right? All right, hold on a second. Have you been to the bottom, Drew? You didn't like the way it looked?
I want to go vomit.
All right. Drew's going to go vomit, and we'll be back with Devin, who may or may not be gay after this.
Hello. This is your radio.
Hey, Drew, did you spray some Lysol in here?
It's like kryptonite to Superman, isn't it?
How dare you? All right.
Yeah, I couldn't walk back in here.
Really?
It was bad, yeah.
Hey, come on, you're just saying that.
No.
You really mean that, dude?
Yeah, I mean it.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Wow. Devin?
Yes, I'm here.
26.
See what?
You're 26 years old.
I'm 26 years old.
Your brother molested you for how long?
About 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good run.
And he's in prison for life now. He was accused of sexually molesting a 3-year-old little girl. But I sat through his trial. You know, I don't think that he actually did it.
Mm.
But he also molested me and my two, my oldest sister and my youngest sister.
Right.
No, Adam, no.
But you don't think he could have
done
that.
Moving into position there. Come on.
You don't think he could.
Well, no. I sat through the trial that, you know, he was in, and it was...
right. really ludicrous. I really do.
Right.
I believe it was. Anyway.
Right, but you know, the thing that's interesting about this is he molested you for 8 years.
Right.
He molested your two little sisters for
right.
a number of years. But he was accused of molesting a two-year-old, and you just don't think he could have done it.
Well, he had kids, and he never messed with his kids. Anyway, my question goes
You don't know that, though.
I'd say it's just a lot easier to believe that a guy molested his sisters and his brother could have molested somebody.
Well, my question
is, is he in jail for life for doing this?
Yes, he's in jail for life without parole.
Wow.
In Texas, so...
For molesting?
Right.
Without a bunch of priors? He must have had a bunch of...
nothing. He was actually a prison guard in Texas. And so he's, like, in solitary confinement, you know, and all that, and,
No.
There's something missing
something
here, Devin.
Missing.
Yeah. You don't go to solitary just because.
Well, he was a prison guard, so they had to keep him away.
Oh, they keep him segregated.
Yeah, they keep him, so he won't, like, get killed or anything. Anyway.
Okay, so now you're gay.
Well, I met someone when I was 13, and,
right.
I was with him for 7 years.
Cool.
And, we broke up. It was a really nasty breakup. I mean, I was really popular in school. He was a football player, and you know, things just really went wrong. People started finding out about us, you know, and
right.
So we broke up. Now I'm 26. I've moved to Oklahoma. I was in Texas then, and I've not really had any substantial relationships since then.
Mm-hmm.
And just here lately, I've you know started seeing girls in a different way, and I'm just wondering if my mom tells me that. I told her how I was. I told her that I was gay, you know, and
right.
she thinks that I think I'm gay because I was molested by my brother.
Well, however it happens, it's done, it's pretty much done. You understand? It's not something that can be undone, even though the inciting influence, whether it's something you're born with, and there's good evidence that there's some biological predisposition for certain kinds of homosexuality, or whether it's because you're sexually abused, once your brain's sort of wired that way, that's the way it's set up. It's really not thought that it can be undone.
But I feel like I'm gay, you know, but...
That's what I'm saying.
Right. We're with you on the gay part. All right, so here's the deal. Whether this happened because of your brother or whether this happened because God wanted you to be gay...
You're born with
either way, pain. You're gay.
Right.
So let's not fight it. You find a guy and enjoy a gay lifestyle.
But, I've had a really traumatic, you know, life. I mean...
I understand. But, okay, so listen. Here's what you need to do, Devin. You sound like a good guy, and you've had a lot of bad things happen to you. Here's your plan. You got to get some counseling for all this molestation and the horrible family
I've
life.
I've had counseling for that.
You keep it going.
And I turned into a drug addict when I was, like, 16. I got on cocaine.
All right, but you're clean now?
No. Oh. I got, like, 8 DUIs.
All right, Devin, so get with the program. Get a sponsor. Start going to meetings. Work the steps. There's a lot to be done here.
But
don't worry about your sexual orientation.
Here it is. You work on your sobriety from drugs or booze or whatever, and you work on the counseling from the horrific past that you've had. And as far as whether you're gay or not, that'll all come into picture. I mean, it'll come into focus as these other things clear up.
You'll find there are a lot of people in the program that have history of sexual abuse.
So. Right. Danny?
Oh, hi.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, my God.
What's up, buddy?
I can't believe I'm talking to you guys live.
Good times. Good to talk to you, Danny. Tickled pink.
I was listening to you guys on the radio once. I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm. I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Drew, how did you get, like, your... Like, what did you do, or what did you have to do to come,
To do what I do.
To get on the radio?
Yeah.
You had to blow the program director. His name is Trip Reeb.
Total accident for me.
Really?
Yeah, total accident. And, didn't really embrace it until about 4 years ago. I started looking more seriously at doing more media.
I started getting paid. But,
I wasn't paid for 10 years. I was just doing it as a community service.
What do you want to do when you grow up, Danny?
I don't know. I drum.
You want to be a drummer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like drumming.
Very, very realistic goal. You want to be in a rock band?
Play football.
Professional football player, drummer? You can drum during the off. You can tour during the off season.
Astronaut.
With your band. I wanted to be astronaut pirate when I was 14. Still do.
Well, the pirate part, you're just about there.
I'm getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been flying the Brown Jolly Roger all day long in this studio.
Yeah, you
have. Deidre.
Deidre?
Deidre.
Deidre.
Oh, boy, do I hate your parents with that name. What's up there, Deidre?
I just started having sex with my boyfriend not too long ago.
How do you spell your name, by the way?
D-I-E-D-R-A.
Does everyone mispronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's Deidre.
Yeah. It's Deidre, right?
Yeah.
Kick your...
Just start calling yourself Deidre, would you please?
Okay.
It'll be a lot easier.
All right.
All right. So you start having sex.
Uh-huh. And my boyfriend was born with some sort of abnormality. I don't know what it is, but his penis is like a... It's not bluish. It's like a grayish-brownish color almost. And
right.
He said it's some sort of disorder he was born with, and the doctor...
No.
Right, yes, I just farted. I'm sorry, yes. Disorder.
The doctor said he was born with it, and
I feel like I'm sitting in front of a firing squad waiting for the bullets to arrive.
Right.
But ever since we started having sex, I've been getting some sort of weird rash and a weird discharge. It's like a pinkish-yellow color.
Well, why don't you get that checked out? That has nothing to do with the color of his penis.
Right. Don't focus on the color of his penis. Focus on your discharge, and that's just from having sex. You got to get a pelvic exam if you're sexually active. We're going to take a little break. Well, there you go. Boy, that show. I'll tell you, the gas just made it fly for me, Drew.
Interesting.
Dream show for me. Dream show. Good work, buddy.
Good couple weeks coming up here.
Yeah, good times.
You want to
mention
those?
No. We're going to take a nice extended 22-hour break. I'm going to evacuate my bowels.
Thank you.
Yeah?
Please.
All right.
Not right this minute. No, come on.
Come on, Drew. The show's not over, buddy. It ain't. Woo! Oh, that was good. Oh, yeah. All right. So until next time, this is Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.
How long have you been intending to go in the armies? The army.
I told her
ultimatum.
It's going to be free.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold.
Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.